In this video today, I want to deal with the issue, was Israel's modern, that is 1948, establishment as a nation, was this a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? You see, I've heard some people say that the establishment of Israel as a nation in 1948 was not a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. As a matter of fact, that's a common take from people who don't agree with making a distinction between Israel and the church, because many of those people don't want to see any biblical significance for the Jewish people in God's work and world today. Here's a short example of this kind of thinking from apologist James White in a video that was posted on June 26, 2025. You'll find the link to the full video in the description.
So, what do you do with all that? Well, no matter what you do, see, I do not see the modern state of Israel as a fulfillment of anything other than the activities of the United Nations. Obviously it's a part of God's sovereignty. Everything is a part of God's sovereignty. That doesn't mean that this is, I don't see anything in scripture that says this is going to happen. That in 1948, the budding of fig trees and all the rest of that stuff, I think you're just, you have to be building a pretty tenuous, set of Jenga blocks. You know, where you put them all together and hope it all doesn't fall down. It just seems really extreme to me along those lines.
Now, I don't want to make this about James White, and it wouldn't be hard to find many others with this same idea. It's certainly not unique to him. But as one of the many who believe that whatever happened with modern Israel in 1948, James White certainly represents those who know for sure that it didn't have anything to do with fulfilling biblical prophecy. Well, look, friends, you can count me among those who believe that the founding of Israel in 1948 was a fulfillment of prophecy. I don't think this is tenuous. I don't think it's a tower of Jenga blocks. Let me explain to you why I believe this. Number one, the founding of Israel in 1948 was a unique and remarkable historical event. A people who had not been a nation for 2,000 years, and only for about 100 years in the previous 2,600 years, those people became a nation again. To put it mildly, from a historical perspective, this is highly unusual. Now, there are peoples and nations with long, long histories, going back thousands of years in some cases. We think of Egypt, Persia, China, Sweden, and others. Yet the phenomenon of a nation being extinct and severely persecuted for 2,000 years and then coming back to life is unique. If there are other examples of this, there can't be very many of them. And friends, I just simply believe that when God performs such an unusual, unprecedented work, we should pay attention. That's number one. Secondly, I believe the Bible clearly and emphatically teaches that the Jewish people would be restored to their land in a national sense. I count more than 15 specific passages that promise a restoration of the Jewish people to the land. You can see up on the screen right now a list of, I think it's 16 different passages. And I think every one of these, in some way or another, promise a restoration of Israel to the land. Now, however, there's at least two issues to resolve with every one of those passages. And here are the two issues. Number one, how do we know that these promises are to Israel after the flesh, and not promises made to spiritual Israel? Many people, interpretively, they take these, say, well, yes, these apply spiritually to the church or to the people of God. It doesn't have Israel after the flesh in view. So we got to deal with that issue. And then here's the second issue. How do we know that these promises were not fulfilled in the restoration of the Jewish people to the land of Israel that happened after the Babylonian captivity? That's the general period beginning in the time of the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Well, friends, it's my belief that some of those 15 plus passages are clearly to Israel after the flesh, not to spiritual Israel, not to the church, but to Israel after the flesh. And some of those 15 plus passages were clearly not fulfilled by the return from the Babylonian captivity. Of those many passages, obviously, I'm not going to go through them all. The video would be much too long, but let me just go through two of them. The first one is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. These verses promise a gathering of Israel from the four corners of the earth. Here it is, Isaiah 11, starting at verse 11. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. From Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now, in considering these two verses from Isaiah 11, first, notice the words that indicate that this speaks to Israel after the flesh. The references to the outcasts of Israel and dispersed of Judah in verse 12. Though in a few places in the New Testament, the concept of the church as spiritual Israel is presented. A couple examples of that are Galatians chapter 6, verse 16, Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. That's true in a couple places in the New Testament. I'm not aware of any place where the church is mentioned as spiritual Judah. These are clear references to what were the two kingdoms that comprised the 12 tribes in the days of the divided monarchy. The northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. And those things indicate for us that Israel after the flesh is in view. We're not talking about a spiritualization of the people of God in general. Second, notice where these people return from. From Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. They come from the four corners of the earth, not only from the lands to which the Jews were dispersed in the Babylonian captivity. If you also notice there in verse 11, it says that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. Now look, I know you could debate as to what the second time is, but it certainly could be a second time after, the second being after the gathering that happened in the Babylonian or post-Babylonian exile. So, in passages like this, while the return from the Babylonian captivity might be in view in a partial, anticipatory sense, that doesn't fulfill the clear words of this promise. Friends, the Bible promises a national restoration of the Jews to the land of Israel that goes beyond their return from the Babylonian captivity. Now, here's one more example from among the more than 15 passages speaking of the restoration of the Jewish people to the land. This passage speaks of a promised return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, Jeremiah chapter 32, starting at verse 36. This is a few verses along, five or six verses, so follow along carefully as I read. Jeremiah chapter 32, starting at verse 36. Now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in the land with all my heart and with all my soul. Now, this concerns, number one, earthly Jerusalem. The same city that was delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. That's what it says in the first few verses of this passage from Jeremiah chapter 32. This has in view Israel after the flesh. It doesn't have in view spiritual Israel. But secondly, I want you to notice that the gathering predicted in verse 37 was not fulfilled by the return from the Babylonian captivity. Look at the phrasing of verses 38 through 40. This speaks, indeed, even of the new covenant. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. God promised that he would make an everlasting covenant with them in those days. And then finally, that he would put my fear in their hearts so that they would not depart from me. Now, friends, unless the new covenant began in the days of Ezra and Zerubbabel, then these promises speak of something beyond Israel's return to the land in those days. While the return from the Babylonian captivity might be in view in a partial, anticipatory sense, that return doesn't fulfill the clear words of this promise. Let me repeat what I said before. The Bible promises a national restoration of the Jews to the land of Israel that goes beyond their return from the Babylonian captivity. Now, since these promises are present and they're repeated in the scriptures, it's hard for me to accept the gaslighting from perhaps well-intentioned believers who try to tell me that Israel's founding as a nation in 1948 is just a crazy historical accident, or it's the product of evil United Nations conspiracies. Israel's formation as a modern nation in 1948 is much better understood as a probable fulfillment of these many prophecies. Now, you might notice that I just used the word probable, as in a probable fulfillment of these many prophecies. That's because, though I do believe that God promised that the Jews would be restored to their land before the end, I think that it is theoretically possible. That is, if Jesus were not to return for another 200 or 300 years or more. It's theoretically possible that in that time, Israel could pass as a nation and then be restored again. Now, I don't think that's even remotely likely. I think Jesus Christ is coming soon, but I throw it out there as at least a theoretical possibility. So I believe that Israel's founding as a modern nation in 1948 is a prophetic fulfillment for at least two reasons. Number one, it was a historical rarity, if not something that was absolutely unprecedented in history. But secondly, it is a probable, I'll even say likely fulfillment of the many biblical promises to restore the Jewish people as a nation to their land. To convince me otherwise, someone would have to go through those 15 plus passages that promise the Jews restoration to their land and convince me that all of those promises do not refer to the Jewish people, that is Israel after the flesh, and that all of those promises were fulfilled by the return from the Babylonian captivity. Unless someone can convince me otherwise, I'll continue to see Israel's modern founding in 1948 as a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, let me deal with an objection that some people raise. They note that most of the promises I refer to about the Jews being restored to the land were made in the context of repentance and faith among the Jews, that they are restored as having faith in their Messiah, who is, of course, Jesus Christ. These people who object, they would say, and I understand this objection, They would say something like this: the Jews in Israel today are largely atheistic, and the religious ones especially reject Jesus. In this sense, their gathering and unbelief doesn't match the promises given in the Bible. As a matter of fact, this is an objection that even a pastor in our larger Calvary Chapel circle has raised.
Again, to answer your question, you know, the land and its rights do belong to Messiah. And God will eventually restore that land to Israel under the Messiah. Now, I do not think the nation of Israel there now is the fulfillment of that. Some do. I don't believe that.
Mm.
Because the detail is missing that Messiah is there and that he is being submitted to. He is being recognized for his authority as the true and only king. And that's not happening. So I don't think that modern Israel is the fulfillment of these prophecies and promises.
Now, I get that objection, but I do think it has an answer. And for me, it's a good answer. As significant as Israel's founding as a modern nation in 1948 was, it was, and it is still a gathering largely in unbelief. And I believe that this follows a pattern prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 37. In Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones, he saw them first gathered as bone to bone. Then muscles and flesh came upon them. Then the skin, and last of all, the breath of life came in the bodies that were first only a collection of dry bones. Now, I believe we see a similar thing in the gathering of Israel. In 1948, something remarkable happened. A people who had not been a nation for 2,000 years, and only for about 100 years in the previous 2,600 years, that people became a nation again. And as significant as this was, it was, and still is, a gathering of unbelief. We can say that the bones have come together and the muscles and the flesh are being formed, but the breath of real spiritual life has not yet come in fullness. In Ezekiel's vision, in Ezekiel chapter 37, that happens last, not first. Now, there are people who reject Jesus as the Messiah because they say this: well, the Bible prophesies that the Messiah is going to end all wars and bring an unprecedented age of peace and prosperity to the world. Jesus didn't do that, so he can't be the Messiah. Now, as Christians, how would we answer that? Well, we don't think that way. We say that part of the Messiah's work is real and true, but it is yet to be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled in time. Christians would point out passages like Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, that they have promises that contain aspects of both the first and second coming of Jesus. And just because one aspect has been fulfilled and another aspect has not yet been fulfilled, well, they're both true. So we would say a similar thing regarding Israel's gathering in faith and spiritual life. Yes, it is prophesied. Yes, it will happen. But just because one aspect of it has not yet been fulfilled, it doesn't mean that the first aspect hasn't yet been fulfilled. I imagine what someone might say when Jesus was 12 years old. They would say, that boy Jesus of Nazareth, well, he can't be the Messiah. The scriptures say that the Messiah will suffer and die for the sins of his people. He hasn't done that yet. He can't be the Messiah. Now, we would all understand. We would reply the same. Again, from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, we would say to a person like that, hey, give it some time. You will see that fulfillment. Just because we don't see it in its fullness yet doesn't mean that God hasn't started something remarkable. So, has Israel been gathered to faith and new spiritual life yet in the land? No, they have not. But that doesn't mean that their gathering together as a nation, even in unbelief, is not yet a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I believe that it is. Now, one more quick thing. I do believe that the formation of Israel as a nation in 1948 had prophetic significance. But that does not mean that everything that the modern nation state of Israel does is good or godly. Not at all. It simply means that they have a place, a role, a purpose in God's unfolding plan, in God's outworking plan of the ages. So, that's it. That's why I believe that there is prophetic significance in the gathering of many Jews to Israel in the mid part of the 20th century and the formation of Israel as a nation in 1948. I believe that those things have true prophetic significance. Now, if you don't agree, that's fine, of course. But I trust that you would say that even if I'm wrong, I'm not crazy. This isn't the position of a crank, a fanatic, and it's certainly not the position of a heretic. Friends, the Bible promises a national restoration of the Jews to the land of Israel that goes beyond their return from the Babylonian captivity. And this began to be fulfilled in 1948.